This has been an extremely exciting week. It's almost like a replay of the book of Acts. I've always said that the book of the Acts of the Apostles is an unfinished book. As Luke began the book, he said, "The former treatise," or the Gospel of Luke, "I have written unto you, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." The book of Acts was a continuation of what Jesus was doing in the world. And this week we have seen a glorious continuation of what the Lord is doing in the world. We had a meeting Wednesday with several of the pastors as we were discussing together the opportunities that the Lord is giving us for outreaches into Russia. And it's absolutely phenomenal, the doors that the Lord is opening. But after this meeting with the pastors on Wednesday, several of them have already been to Russia. Several are planning to go immediately within the next few weeks. But then Friday, we had the vice mayor of St. Petersburg, Russia, in our office, along with a professor of philosophy from the university in St. Petersburg, along with an ex-KGB agent who was the translator. And then the Lord began to just put things together in such a phenomenal way. A young couple who is going from the Calvary Chapel Vista to Moscow tomorrow to begin to pastor the outreach there in Moscow. They came up and they met, and the Lord gave some good opportunities, open doors through the meeting. And then Roger Oakland happened to be there, and he got to meet them. And then, it's just too much to share, but just glorious doors that the Lord is opening for us to have a tremendous impact upon all of Russia. The city of St. Petersburg is just wide open for us to come over. They've sort of given us the key to the city, just sort of carte blanche, just to come and to share the gospel. They'll give us buildings to meet in. They'll just open invitation. And so it's going to be exciting to see just what the Lord does have in mind as far as reaching into Russia. The problem with the outreach in Moscow is that as they have gone there and started the Calvary Chapel there, every day, two or three people come in and they say, "We want to take you to this village out here. We've got a group of people we're gathering. We need someone to teach us the Bible." And there's just so many open doors. They say, "You've got to come. You've got to come." And they're just trying to fill all of the demands that are being made as the people are so hungry to hear the Word of God. You know, you don't really appreciate what you have many times until you have lost it. I suppose that a person doesn't really fully appreciate good health until you lose your health. You don't fully appreciate your sight until you have lost your sight, perhaps. And I think that we don't fully appreciate the fact that we have the Word of God. You see a people here who have been denied God's Word for 70 years. And you see the absolute hunger. They're almost like piranhas. Their desire to devour God's Word, to learn God's Word, to have someone teaching them God's Word. And so we're going to be hiring the ex-KGB agent, fabulous translator. He was working in the intelligence and was a part of the system of getting Americans to divulge secrets and so forth. So his English is impeccable. And he's sharp, sharp, sharp. And so we're going to be hiring him to translate our tapes into Russian. And they said they especially want the videos. And so we have the capacity of putting on the screen his face as he will simultaneously translate our videotapes into Russian and start getting the teaching of the Word of God through video. We can't possibly get all the ministers there that we need. And so we'll just get them on videotape and send them throughout Russia and start the ministry of God's Word throughout Russia. One fellow was here who was into television, and he said he can get them on television throughout all of Russia. And so it's just absolutely exciting what the Lord is doing. It's going to be interesting having an ex-KGB agent sort of on staff. What the Lord does is just amazing. We're continuing our study in Jeremiah, and this week we're in chapters 37 and in 38. And in the 38th chapter, verses 14 and 15, we read concerning Zedekiah the king. And he sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, I'm going to ask you something, and I ask you not to hide anything from me. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare it unto you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you counsel, you won't hearken unto me. So the king expressed a desire to hear the word of God. Now, there are people who have different reasons for desiring to hear the word of the Lord. Zedekiah was wanting to know what the future held for him and for the nation. There are many people today who have a keen interest in prophecy. They want to hear what the Bible has to say about the future. Every time a major world event takes place, they want to know, does this have a scriptural significance? Is this a fulfillment of prophecy? What does this event have to do with Bible prophecy? Some people read the Bible only for the purpose of argument. They are seeking to prove the Bible wrong. They know that the Bible basically condemns their chosen lifestyles, that it condemns the things that they are doing and the things they are wanting to do. And thus, they somehow think that if they can prove the Bible has errors or contradictions, then they can be more comfortable in their sin. They can sort of discount what God has said about their lifestyles. Let me just say this, though. You will never be able to live comfortably in sin. The Bible says that there is no rest for the wicked. Now, some want to hear the word of the Lord just out of curiosity. It isn't that they want to follow or to obey what God has to say. But the Bible has had such a dramatic effect upon the world, especially our Western culture. They wonder just what's in the Bible that can cause such drastic changes in a person's life or can have such a powerful influence upon Western society. Then there are others who only read the Bible for its literary value. In fact, they have courses in universities that teach the Bible as literature. Now, the king's desire to hear the word of the Lord was one, I think, of curiosity and a desire to know what the future held for him and for Judah. Now, I note that he took Jeremiah to this secret passage, which was an entry into the temple. It was called the third entry. They had the public entry into the temple where the general public entered. They also had an entry for the priest. It was a separate entry. It is thought that the king had his own private entry, a passage that led from the palace to the temple, and that it was his own private entry into the temple, the third entry, a rather secret place where he called Jeremiah that he might secretly find out from Jeremiah the word of the Lord. He had a desire to hear the word of the Lord, but he didn't want others to know of his desire. I believe that deep down in the heart of every man, there is a desire to know what God is saying to him. A lot of times we are rather embarrassed to let other people know that desire is there. We don't want to face the ridicule or the sneering that might come from others. They say, "You went to church? What in the world did you go to church for?" You know, and so you sort of sneak in and you hope that nobody recognizes you. And, you know, you have a desire, but it's sort of a secret kind of a desire, and that was the case of Zedekiah. Now, Jeremiah expressed a reluctance to share with the king what the Lord was saying. There were two reasons for the reluctance. First of all, Jeremiah says, if I tell you what God has to say to you, you'll put me to death. Now, Jeremiah's life had already been threatened on many occasions. The men of the city, his hometown, told him, "Don't tell us anything more of what God has said, for why should you die? We'll put you to death." And his life had been threatened. He had been placed in the dungeons because of his declaring God's word to the people. You see, what God was saying was not really popular with the people because they were doing what God said they should not do. They were living after the flesh. And God was saying that he was going to judge their wickedness. Nobody wants to hear of the judgment of God. It's not a popular subject. And it causes some people to get downright angry. The prophet was telling them that God was going to use the Babylonians as his instrument of judgment against them. The prophet was telling them that their only hope of survival was surrendering to the Babylonians. If they sought to resist, they would surely be put to death. But if they would just surrender to the Babylonians, that they could escape with their lives. They could go ahead and continue to live here peaceably, but it was only by surrender. They didn't want to hear that. They were planning to resist the Babylonian army. They were rebelling against the Babylonian army. And Jeremiah repeated this message to the king. Now, it is because Jeremiah was encouraging them to surrender, he was being accused officially for treason. And they said that he is in league with the Babylonians, he's demoralizing the army and those that are wanting to defend the city, and therefore, you know, we need to kill him because what he is saying is treasonable. The second reason why Jeremiah was reluctant to give the word of the Lord to King Zedekiah was he said to the king, "You won't listen to me anyhow. Why should I tell you? You might get mad and kill me, and secondly, you won't listen. You won't pay any attention." Now, I cannot really fault Jeremiah for not wanting to talk to the king. I can understand. If he's going to get mad and not going to listen, why should you talk to him anyhow? You're just going to get angry, you want to kill me, and you won't listen to me anyhow, so why should I waste my time? I think that many times ministers have that same feeling of discouragement in giving God's word to the people, because so often it seems that the people aren't really listening to what God has to say. It doesn't alter their lifestyles. They don't change. And thus, they may hear, they may listen, they may even have a desire to listen, but it doesn't seem to have any effect upon the way they live. Now, in the New Testament, the book of James, he tells us to be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You see, the hearing of the word of God doesn't really have any value at all in your life unless you put the word of God into practice. Here is Zedekiah. Tell me, what does God say? What does God have to say? You know, well, why should I tell you? You're not going to pay any attention anyhow. You're not going to respond to it. You're going to still do the things you're doing. Why do you want to hear? Now, the king Zedekiah, he vowed to Jeremiah, "Yeah, go ahead, please tell me. I promise I won't kill you." So, with the promise that he wouldn't kill him, Jeremiah did share with him the word. But the thing was, the king didn't promise that he would obey. And when Jeremiah gave the word to the king, he didn't kill Jeremiah, but also he didn't obey the word of God. It didn't change him at all. He continued in the very same path that he was going. The path that Jeremiah warned is going to bring to you captivity. You're going to be taken to Babylon as a prisoner and all. And yet the king did not change and continued until he was taken to Babylon as a prisoner, just like Jeremiah said he would. The king, because he was not a doer of the word, went into captivity where he died. There are many people today who have been hearers of the word but not doers of the word, and as the result are in captivity to sin and are being destroyed by their sin. They have sat in the church. They have heard the word of God over and over again. And they may have even said amen in their heart a time or two as the word was being spoken. Some have even been eager hearers of the word. But the word hasn't brought any changes into their lives. Jesus spoke of those that heard his word and did them were like unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And when the storms came and all, the house stood. But those who heard his word and did not do them were like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And in the time of adversity and storm, the house collapsed. It's not just hearing the word of Jesus that is important. The vital thing is doing the word. Jesus said to his disciples, "I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the people, teaching them to observe those things that I have commanded." The doing. Again, Jesus questioned, "Why would you call me Lord and yet you don't do the things that I command you?" Luke's gospel tells us that when Jesus was one day teaching a multitude of people, some woman in the crowd spoke out and she said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast from which you nursed." And Jesus said, "More blessed are those that hear my words and do them." And so he was constantly emphasizing the importance of doing the things that he commanded. He said, "You are my disciples indeed if you continue in the things that I have spoken unto you." And again, he said, "He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loves me will be loved of my Father, and we will come and manifest ourselves to him." And so the importance of doing the word, and this was the whole problem with Zedekiah. He wanted to hear the word of God, but he didn't want to do the word of God. Now, I would like to give to you the word of God concerning this day in which we live and the situations that we are facing. And some of you, when you hear the word of God, may want to kill me. You may not want to keep it. But this is what God says. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. If you're living in fornication, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. If you're living a life of wickedness, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. If you're thieving, if you're covetous, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Again, God's word says, be not deceived. Again, that word deception. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you sow to the flesh, then of the flesh you are going to reap corruption. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, impurity, lasciviousness, idolatry, drug abuse, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. And I have told you before, Paul said, and I tell you again, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it doesn't really matter how many sermons you have heard. It doesn't matter how faithful you have been at attendance in hearing the Word of God. It doesn't really matter how many scriptures you have memorized. God's Word clearly declares that if you are living after the flesh and continue to live after the flesh and do the things of the flesh, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You will be taken into captivity and you will die in captivity. Zedekiah said, tell me, what is God saying to me? And Jeremiah said, I don't want to tell you. It'll only make you angry. You'll want to kill me and you're not going to listen anyhow. Tell me what God says. I promise I won't kill you. All right? This is what God says. And then what happened? Zedekiah didn't pay any attention. Went on living the very same way. He heard the word, but the word was no value to him because he didn't put it into practice. You know, it hurts me very deeply to think that many people that have come week after week to sit here under the teaching of the Word of God, and though they have heard the Word, they have never become doers of the Word. It has not altered their lifestyles. They still lie and cheat and commit fornication. And it hurts to realize that these people that we have shared God's word with, many of them are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They have been close to the things of God all of their lives. But it hasn't really altered their lives. They are deceived. The very thing that the scripture warns us against, be not deceived. And yet they are deceived. They have been faithful hearers of the word, but never faithful doers of the word. As Paul, writing to the Jews, said, they that have the law are not justified, but those who keep the law. It is the doers who are justified. Having the word, hearing the word, doesn't justify you. It's keeping the word that brings the justification. I've said it. You can throw your stones. I hope you won't ignore it. Let God's Spirit really speak to your heart. Are you a doer of the word or just a hearer only? Have you responded to God's word? Shall we pray? Father, we understand a little bit of the feeling of frustration that Jeremiah had. Because you said to Jeremiah, go out and speak to these people, but they're not going to pay any attention. They're not going to listen to you. But yet, Lord, you wanted him to speak your word anyhow. And sure enough, Jeremiah went out and spoke to them, Lord, but they didn't listen. And thus they went into captivity and they were destroyed. Oh God, give us ears to hear your word to your people. And then, Lord, give us a heart to respond and to obey, that we might be doers of the word, Lord, and not hearers only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? I was noticing in about three places God told Jeremiah, go out and speak to the people, but they will not hearken to you. God wanted his message to be given even though they weren't going to listen to it. It was Jeremiah's responsibility to give the message. Once the message is given, it becomes the responsibility of the people to respond to that message. But the minister, it's his responsibility to give God's word. Having given God's word, now it's your responsibility to react or respond to it, which you will either in a negative or a positive way. But the interesting thing to me is that though God said, speak my word to them, but they won't hearken to you, finally God said to Jeremiah, and in the day of judgment, when their calamity comes, I will not hearken to them. In other words, God says, they wouldn't listen to me. They wouldn't listen to me. Okay. When the chips are down and they're crying, I won't listen to them. That would be a tough situation to be in. If when the chips are down and you begin to cry out unto God, God says, hey, you didn't listen to me. Why should I listen to you? And for many, that's exactly how it's going to be. The Bible tells us, let a man examine himself. For if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged of God. Look at your own life. Are you a hearer of the word only, or do you put the word of God in practice in your life? Do you seek to make application? Do you live by the word? May God's Spirit help us as we probe our own lives. Maybe you'd like to talk to the Lord today about a few issues. I'm sure he'd like to talk to you. Go on back to the prayer room and just let God's Spirit speak to your heart. The Lord bless you. Watch over and keep you in his love. Strengthen you, help you, cause you to become a doer of the word and not just a hearer. In Jesus' name.